Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's a Faith and Family Friday edition, and I'm excited to share with you some thoughts and insights. They're going to be somewhat related to the book, He Leadeth Me. We recorded the book club program yesterday, and so I know now what I can share that won't be shared on Monday when you have a chance to listen to Father Lewis and Father Nagel talk about that. So I'm going to draw one final time some insights from that book and share them with you as a source of blessing.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. Let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for the gift of our lives, for the gift of family. And Heavenly Father, I love you for who you are and for all that you do for our lives. Lord, I ask a blessing upon all families that are listening, all husbands and wives and children and people in all kinds of variety of circumstances, Lord, that you know about. Jesus, be close to us today. Give us the grace to live well. Give us the grace to seek your will, to do your will, and to trust in your providential care for our lives. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it's great to be with you today. As I mentioned, last time I'll talk about it. Last time, the book club is coming up on Monday, He Leadeth Me by Father Walter Chizik. It's an amazing kind of his spiritual reflections that accompanied his journey of 23 years in various forms of prison in Russia during and after the Second World War as a Jesuit priest. And it's really such an inspiring story. I want to draw on some of the insights that he brings out in this book, He Leadeth Me, but I want to do so in a way that relates to family life. Those of you that tune in on Fridays and you know that our theme on Fridays is faith and family. And even though I can talk about it in the course of any particular day, I thought that I would lean on some of these key principles in He Leadeth Me, but draw them out in terms of my own journey of faith as a father, as a husband, who's called to lead and provide and protect my family. And I share that with you. I've shared it before, but it's worth reminding those of you who are listening. It's worth recalling these things. This is one of those powerful insights about how we learn, that the truth that is entrusted to us in our faith by God, revealed fully in Christ and entrusted to the church, that the Holy Spirit prompts these truths to come alive in new ways and fresh ways for us as we live our lives, as we seek to ponder. Ponder is one action of living. One way that we act is with our mind's capacity to reflect. But not only to reflect, but then to take action out in the world. And so I want to kind of share that journey with you, again, as an attempt to be supportive, to be encouraging, and also to help you be accountable. And by the way, I use those three words intentionally to support you. If you're struggling, I want you to know you're not alone. And hopefully through some of the things that I share, you will sense God's tender care for you, God's closeness, that he is drawing close to you in a time of trial, in a time of hurt or anxiety or fear, right? I also said the word encouragement. I want you to feel a sense of celebration and affirmation where you're doing well. And to be able to hear some of the things that I share and be able to say, yeah, I do that. I've done that. I've done better than that. As placing some courage into the heart, in the core of your being, and courage to put into your heart the strength to persist and to pursue what is good and what is holy, even when it gets difficult. But also my hope is that my words will also be a source of accountability, that there'll be a sense of establishing a standard. Now, it's not my standard for your life. That's not what I ever strive to do, but rather to raise up a standard that's drawn from our faith, drawn from the scriptures, from our Catholic tradition, lived in the lives of the saints, presented in church teaching and in the teachings of great doctors of the church. That provides a standard. That provides a rock solid handhold if we're trying to conform our lives to the gospel. And so, again, when I look at this story, drawn out and he leadeth me, there are just some really profound and striking moments. And I'm not going to share about things that will be heard on Monday, but I want to draw out other points that are salient, they're relevant, as it connects to walking together as a family and walking together in your family with the role that God has given you. And so a first simple truth that is woven through this book, He Leadeth Me, and is so relevant for your life and mine, if we're in families, is that God planted you there. And God implanting you there maybe didn't plant you in a situation that will be visible to the masses, that will be spectacular in terms of gaining visibility in worldly terms. But one of the points that Father Chizik makes again and again and again is the truth that you're seen. You are seen. You live your life in the sight of a provident God, an active God who is taking action in your regard. He sees you. And so, to borrow some of the phraseology of Father Chizik, if you're living a humdrum life, if you're living a monotonous, boring life in certain measures, that doesn't mean it's insignificant. That doesn't mean it's lacking in nobility. That doesn't mean, most important of all, that Father Chizik points out, that it, in fact, is precisely where God has you planted. And it's the place where he is meeting you, and he is entering into your life. And lo and behold, he actually can break through your life and enter into this world. And so at a foundational level, I want to begin with this encouraging word to you. My brother, my sister, you might be listening to this program right now and saying, I'm in the middle of, or I just finished, or I'm about to start a use of my time and my life energy that is not exciting, is not visibly something that stirs great enthusiasm or has a lot of visible impact. Maybe you're taking care of a bunch of little kids. Maybe you're working at a job where there's not an easy way for you to see it having anything good and meaningful happen in this world. Well, what Father Chizik would say is, trust that God has planted you there. Trust that God is with you there. Trust that God has willed for you to be there. And as you can learn to surrender your will to his, this idea of conformity or uniformity of your will with God's, you will find that there's a peace that emerges. You will discover that God will enlighten. He'll bring some light to you, to your mind, to help you realize that what you're doing, it matters to him. What you're doing is important in the terms of the kingdom. Maybe not in the terms of the world. Maybe it doesn't make you a lot of money. Maybe it doesn't give you a lot of attention. Maybe it doesn't give you a lot of applause. But it matters to God. And that raises the question, well, if that's true, how do I foster this awareness that the Lord, the King of heaven and earth, the creator of the universe, my loving Abba Father, sees me? And if I can say it in a way that isn't disrespectful or irreverent, not only God the Father, but also all of the saints and angels in heaven, in the mystery of God, have the capacity to see you as well. That you are being watched. You are being watched over. And there is, again, you're on the playing field, heaven is in the stands, and they're cheering you on so that you will run the race and fight the good fight. How do you do that? How do you do that? How do you do that? It's by bringing God, bringing the light of God, bringing the presence of God, bringing the power of God, bringing the grace of God, bringing the love of God into those circumstances, into that job, into that work that you're doing. You can perform for an audience of one, and that one is do it for the Lord Jesus. Do everything you do, knowing that he sees you and he's with you. Do it for him. Do it as for the Lord and not for anyone else, not for men, right? Those scriptural admonitions. And so if that sounds like a foreign concept, that your run-of-the-mill, everyday activities are not filled with a lot of grandeur at any kind of visible level, ask the Lord today. In fact, I'm going to pray for this for you. Father in heaven, I pray right now for my brothers and sisters, for each of them and all of them, regarding the heavenly grandeur, the glory and the majesty that you intend to pour into the lives of these dear sister and brothers of mine. Lord, I beg you to pour your grace into their lives, into each of our lives, Lord, today, so that we would sense the godliness that you have assigned and associated with even the most mundane activities. Lord, give us that graced awareness that you intend to use us as vessels of communicating your grace in your life in this world. Lord, we will lose sight of this vision so quickly. Lord, stir it into flame today. Stir it into flame right now. I ask for those brothers and sisters of mine who are struggling the most to believe that this is true, that Lord, you'd give them a sign, you'd work a wonder, you would give them a breakthrough, something that is a surprise, a gracious surprise, that it's you, that you do see them, that they are known by you, that you do care for them, and that you are at work in their lives and through their lives. You intend to even do more through their lives than they've ever asked for or imagined. And so, Lord, I pray for those dear ones. And Lord, I pray for those who are in situations where there's a lot at stake today. Maybe there's a meeting. Maybe there is a conflict. Maybe there is a present situation that is throbbing, and there is a lot at stake that this goes well. I pray for favor. I pray, Lord, for your mercy to be lavished upon those dear ones who face crucial conversations, who face difficult choices or high stakes moments of communication and interaction. Lord, bless them. but bless them with what they need, Jesus, to be able to sense the presence and the power of your Spirit at work. Lord, I just pray that they would sense and know that they are not alone, that you, Jesus, you promised that the Holy Spirit would be given to your followers when they're dragged before courts, when they're dragged before those who are accusing them, that your Holy Spirit would give them the gracious favor to speak the words that would allow them to manifest your light and to be able to experience a path forward, a way through. Thank you, Lord, that you call us to find our sense of nearness to you and your providential care in the day-to-day lives that we're living right now. Help us, Lord. Help us to be able to do that and to be able to advance as your children, glorifying you, Father. Lord, we can't do it without your grace. Please, Lord, give us that capacity today, that fresh new capacity. And I thank you, Lord, for all the times and all the ways that you have broken into our lives to reveal this truth to us so that we would know it, that you're with us and providentially caring for us. And I make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Back with more insights drawn from He Leadeth Me to our family lives. Welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you. So this idea of we become saints, we become holy by fulfilling the duties of our state in life. That's the traditional way of saying it. By offering to the Lord all of the prayers and good works and sufferings of this day, right? That it's in the here and now, in the today, in the situations, in the relationships, in the circumstances. This is the language of Father Chizik. That's where God's will is to be found. That's where God's providence is going to meet us. That's all beautiful until it gets hard, until there's real suffering, until things break down. And this is something that Father Lewis and Father Nagel will talk about on Monday. So tune in for the book club edition where we discuss He Leadeth Me. That moment of breakdown in the Lubyanka prison where Father Chizik realizes that he's not enough. He just doesn't have what it takes. And this is not the language of Father Chizik or the language of Father Nagel and Father Lewis on Monday. So I'm going to share it from my perspective, and I didn't do this on Monday, is that Father Chizik experiences what I call praiseworthy desperation or holy desperation. If you've listened to me reflect on these three moments of the life of a disciple, these three dynamics that are in part of a life of a disciple, the first part is really akin to what Father Chizik is saying, is that God has created you as this gift for the world, and he's asking you to be a gift to the world. So your very life, it's all a gift. And you are to be acknowledged and affirmed and celebrated for the gift you are and the gifts you have. And you're called to be a good steward in putting those gifts at his service for his glory. And that's a beautiful thought, but that's not our whole life. In fact, a lot of our life is lived much closer to the agony in the garden. In fact, this is a big theme in the book. And it wasn't one that we ended up talking about on Monday, is that Father Chizik's preferred scene in the gospel where he comes to associate more and more of his life is in fact the agony in the garden. That place where Jesus it ends up being by himself, cut off from those that he invited to be close to him that fell asleep, Peter, James, and John, three times. And this is where Jesus enters his hour, the hour for which he came. And he goes from the experience of, realizing, I'm not saying this exactly right, that Jesus is this gift for the world, but then he gets into that experience of becoming sin, entering the full consequences of the betrayal and disobedience of God, which is sin. He becomes identified with it, and he becomes anxious. He sweats blood. It's so terribly his deathly distress, his overwhelming vortex of anxiety and darkness that he is just drawn into, right? All of that darkness that he becomes associated with, and he cries out, "Father, if it be your will, have this cup, take this cup from me. If it be possible, Father, take this cup from me." That's how profound, how deep this darkness is, how intense. And one of the other characteristics of deep darkness and overwhelming suffering is time slows down. There's a sense of the passage of time is, it's almost like time stops. And that is one of the ways that mystics and saints have reflected on the mystery of Holy Saturday, Jesus being dead. We don't often hear many reflections on Holy Saturday. We hear about the Passion, right? We hear about Holy Thursday and the Garden and entering into the Passion and the way of the cross and Christ dying on the cross. And then we jump to the resurrection, but we don't often reflect on Jesus being dead with the dead. And sometimes Holy Saturday is portrayed as Jesus triumphantly entering into Hades, the reality of hell as it existed then, and the harrowing of hell, right? He goes in victoriously and is going to take with him as a train back to heaven, a train of followers who have been waiting for him to liberate them from this realm of the dead. And that's definitely a stream and a strand of our Catholic tradition around Holy Saturday. But there's a whole other one of Jesus being dead with the dead. And it's a radical form of passivity, an incapacity to move. And I share this with you because I know that there are people who are feeling that level of numbness, that level of trauma, where you feel like the anxiety has gripped you and you feel like time has stopped moving. It's just that overwhelming. And I have to tell you, that was one of the reasons why this book, He Leadeth Me, has been life-changing for me, is that he was able to name from the lived experience he had of 5 years. I mean, just to say that out loud, in this most terrible of prisons, in isolation, and then 15 years in these labor camps that were where they were slave driven in the most cruel circumstances, barely survivable. And it's easy to read it in a book in a paragraph, 15 years. I mean, my brothers and sisters, some of you are suffering right now and you're feeling like time is just not passing. It's like minute to minute. And what Father Chizik brings out in this book, and it's so important for us to hear, is that Jesus is with you in the middle of that, and that you may come to discover the way that he discovered, Father Chizik discovered. It was in those darkest of places, the most numbed suffering, where God did the greatest work of liberation, of freedom, of redemption. Redemption has to do with setting the captive free, setting them free from the burden, from the debt, from the bondage, from the prison, into freedom, into space, into breathing, into a horizon that's open. And again, I know that there are some of you who are right now numb with anxiety and internally traumatized over family circumstances. There's just a war going on inside the souls of men, you know, men battling internet pornography. You know, God and the mystery of God's mercy, it has never been something I've wrestled with or struggled with. By the mystery, it's just God's mercy functions as a form of rescuing and also preserving. And so every man has their own, you know, sins they're struggling with. When Carrie and I have done married couples retreats and have had a chance to pray with couples, when I have done men's conferences and have had a chance to pray with men, the most heart-wrenching, the most tear-filled, sobbing times of prayer that Carrie and I have experienced from those who have come to us with their wounds and their sorrow and their pain is around the betrayals of associated with pornography. And so I know that there are some of you that are listening that maybe that's you in the bondage of pornography, that sin and that addictive behavior. Or maybe you're a wife, or maybe even a husband who is struggling mightily because your husband, wives, your husband is betraying your relationship in pornography. Or maybe it's, again, some other addiction. Maybe it's drinking. Maybe it's gambling. Maybe it's too much working, putting too much emphasis on work and leaving the family behind. But there are wounds there. And in the midst of that suffering, God's provident. God's caring. God is not absent. And this is where we need the witness of someone like Father Chizik. Because when we line up our suffering, our pain, our daily difficulty, our trauma next to his, we're going to feel like we got the easier path. We just are. I mean, there might be a couple of you out there that you're like, he's had it hard, I've had it worse. I don't know who you are, but the great, great, great 99% of us, we're feeling like life is pretty soft. Even in our worst times, our life is really easy compared to what Father Chizik went through. And having gone through it and in the midst of going through it, he speaks this word of truth. He speaks this word and says, you know what? God was providentially placing me there. God was providentially taking care of me in that prison, in that labor camp, in the midst of that suffering. And it wasn't just God felt bad that you were undergoing all those things and he was permitting them because he was going to bring something better out of them. No, Father Chizik insists that was God's will. That wasn't just God's permissive will to kind of soften the blow and he's going to work it out in the end. No, he hammers this point home, especially in the last chapters on humility and on freedom and on humanity, that God willed for him to be caught and put in prison. God willed for him every day to undergo those interrogations. And when he was able to embrace that truth, to experience that truth, it did change everything for him. Because then there's a letting go. There's a surrendering that's involved there. There's that, here's the word, praiseworthy desperation. That holy desperation. I'm desperate because I'm powerless. I'm desperate because I'm overwhelmed. I'm desperate because I don't know what to do. I'm desperate because I don't have what it takes. I'm desperate because I don't see a way out. All of those conditions were his, and worse. And in the middle of all of that, God breaks in. No, God meets him as those desperate situations and begins to work in greater ways because of those situations and through those situations. And that's a truth that Father Chizik says over and over, you're not going to get it until you experience it. You're not going to get it until you go through it. And so he, in this chapter on humility, which is stunning, he is grateful for humiliating experiences. He thanks God for them. And he kind of, it's one of the few places in the book where he kind of wags his finger at the readers. He wags his finger, says, you know, lots of people want to avoid humiliating circumstances, humiliating situations. A lot of us just don't want to be humiliated. And he laments that. He laments our self-protective avoidance mechanisms because they're holding us back from experiencing a level of freedom that comes from the surrender, the deep surrender associated with being powerless. The total entrustment that comes when we are absolutely convinced in an unavoidable way that we got nothing. We've got nothing. That the Lord will take care of everything. That's what he wants for us. That's what he learned. And that's what he shared with us. And so, you dear sweet brothers and sisters that are in circumstances right now that involve suffering, that involve that desperation, just know that God is with you. He's at work in the midst of those, and he's blessing you. In a way, again, that sounds so mysterious, his providential care has not left you behind. That's how I want to say it. All right, I'm up against a break. When we come back, I want to talk about another condition that's connected to our lives of faith and our family from this book.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com. Okay, back to Sound Insight.
Welcome back to the program. And so today I'm connecting faith and family life to insights drawn from the book He Leadeth Me by Father Walter Chizik. And I'm focusing on certain existential situations. I haven't been so very concrete about like describing, hey, this is what happened to me this morning. It was more general about, you know, how is this relevant to your life as a wife and a mother, as a husband and a father? You're called to lead and provide and protect. As a leader, you go before your kids. You go before your spouse. You provide a model as an example for them to follow. And you also ask them to be accountable to walk that same path. And so that's so much of what Father Chizik does, is that anytime he's asking us to be accountable, he's doing it out of the loving wisdom, the incredible insight that he has from having walked this path himself. And one of the insights that he brings out very forcefully is that when you're suffering, you connect it to the cross of Christ. Now, of course, we hear that redemptive suffering. It's not easy to live that. Carrie and I have been pretty open and honest with you about the struggles that our family has had from raising kids and rebellion, and how to live well in the light of that. And I can say this with just such a an honest heart, like an honesty, that those most painful extended trials that gradually drove me more and more to my knees in holy desperation were, in fact, the humiliation of it, the radical experience of incapacity, right? Spiritual poverty. That was one of the greatest gifts God gave my marriage. It's just striking to say that out loud. I used to say God gave us great gifts through that. And again, that's when I say it like that, God gave us gifts through that. He led us through it. He was with us in it. All of that's my natural, that was the way I read it. That's the way I said it before he leadeth me. And it was like God was permitting these evil things, and this was because of the rebellion of a kid, one of my teenagers, and that's why we had to try to remain faithful, and it broke us down, and that was a breakthrough, right? No, I don't say it like that now. Now it's still hard to actually verbalize it in accord with the spirit, the ideal that Father Chizik points out in He Leadeth Me. Is precisely that, he was leading us into those circumstances that were bringing about the desperation, the spiritual poverty, the radical incapacity. He was leading us into those. He was meeting us as those trials. He wasn't just with us in the trial. He was speaking his providential care for us in the form of that trial. Does that make sense? And you might be saying, what I need you to hear is this, is that if you're not getting it, it might be because you haven't experienced it. But having experienced it, it's game changing. It's life changing to realize that's how providential God is over our lives. That's how much He has outwitted us, and He's going to outlast us, and He's going to checkmate us before we even touch the first piece. Right? He's not just foreseeing all possible outcomes and actions. He's radically involved in every little. He's got get every hair on our head counted. Think about it from like through that lens. He knows every little point of energy within us that's anxious. He knows every little detail. He's there. He's meeting us in those things. The difference is this: it's surrender. It is a surrender. It's like I didn't get it until I read it and pondered it, reflected on it, and have started to implement it in my day-to-day life. I gotta tell you, so I have, as you know, I do this mission church work for 35 years. I love it. Radio, give talks, blah, blah, blah. And now doing real estate to serve families, which has been amazing to be able to connect with them in oftentimes standpoints of faith, but not always, and just to be able to serve them. And in these high stakes moments in their lives. And to see how I have now begun to operate in a more surrendered fashion in my day-to-day work as a real estate agent. It's a subtle difference. If all you did was like follow me around and talk to me and watch me interact with people, you wouldn't notice much of a difference. The change is an interior one. And my book is all marked up. My Healy with Me book is all marked up because Father Chizik will say again and again and again and again and again, when I came to see it like this, when I had a vision for this, when I was able to catch that sense of seeing that this is what, when I could see the way that he is so John Paul II there, how you see shapes how you relate, shapes how you behave. What you're aware of in your consciousness shapes your attitude, and that is how you're relating to things. And that shows up in your actions, awareness, attitude, action. How you see shapes how you relate, shapes how you behave. And he, Father Chizik, is all over this when it comes to this reality of suffering and trials. If you can see God coming to you in the form of this trial, which is so different than God knows that you live in a world that's fallen and trials happen, but he'll be with you in the middle of them. Do you hear the difference there? It's a difference in how it's seen. And if it's seen differently, then it's related to differently. And so concretely, what does that actually look like? Well, what it looks like is this. Now this is happening every day. I'm sitting there. I've got my computer. I've got my phone. Oh, there's something that I need to get done. Okay, I started the process by sending out an email. I made a phone call. And now I'm in a holding pattern and I'm waiting until that person gets back in touch with me. I normally would say inside of me, okay, my next window of opportunity, I'm going to give them another call. I don't know what they're waiting for. They should be getting back to me. They should at least acknowledge the fact that they haven't responded to me, all of that, right? And instead, now, you know what? I'm going to let it go. I'm going to make some space for God. I'm going to let the Lord be at work here. And I'm not going to, here's the word, force it. I'm not going to try so hard to make that happen. Because if I start doing that, then I might think that I'm the one that caused it. I'm the one that brought it about. Wow. Holy cow. That's huge. And so I just want you to hear that subtle difference in how you see something can make all the difference in how you live. And I think this is the one, if not the biggest takeaway, was that whole reality of coming to recognize that the title of the book says it all, He Leadeth Me. And if you read the actual story of what happens to Father Chizik, it doesn't look like God is leading him. It looks like the Russian military, the Russian authorities, the KGB, the local police, the crime bosses that are in the gulag that is with him. Everybody else seems to be determining what he's doing. Everybody else is, and he's has to comply and obey and comply and obey, and he can't question and he can't put into question. And it looks like he's a complete slave to evil forces. And that would be the story of him, how he survived living under evil forces for 23 years. That's not the name of the book. The name of the book is He Leadeth Me, Psalm 23. He leads me beside green pastures. I'm like, that is so mysterious, but it's so true. And he's the witness of it. Back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. One of the lines that Father Chizik quotes in this book is, I think, it kind of sums up the paradox in some ways. And I think also in a way that is helpful for us as married couples and parents to embrace. And it's work as if everything depended on you, pray as if everything depended on God. Pray as if everything depends on God. Work as if everything depends on you. And at first blush, you have to acknowledge that's kind of a paradox, because it feels like an either or. Well, I'm either going to pray as if everything depends on God, and what that means is working as if everything depends on God, which means, well, God, I can kind of take a step back and I can be a bit passive. I can just really not have to do anything. Since God is provident and takes care of everything, well, then I can just kind of hang out and eat popcorn. I don't have to do anything. That's not what it means. And so he puts both in there. Pray as if everything depends on God, and then work as if everything depends on you. Now, of the two, that second part is really, frankly, the part that comes so much more naturally to us, isn't it? It's like, yeah, of course, I'm gonna work hard. And I know that if I put in the effort and I persist and I get the help I need to be able to be successful, to figure stuff out, you know what? I'm gonna make some forward progress. I'm gonna advance. I'm gonna be successful. Work as if everything depends on you. And it's one of those things that is, it's very American. It's very merit and accomplishment based. You put in the work, you're going to be successful. You put in even more work, you're going to be even more successful, right? But how does that live with the other one? Pray as if everything depends on God. And here's how I want to say it. If you really do begin with the pray part, because that's the only way to get to the work part correctly. In other words, if you really did pray as if everything in your life depended on God, he talks about this in terms of faith, like faith has to become as essential to you as the air you breathe, as important to you as the air you breathe, that praying as if everything depends on God means that prayer is the first thing you're going to do in the morning. It's the last thing you're going to do at night. It's something you're going to do in a significant way during the day. And he, Father Chizik, he puts a stake in the ground and says, morning offering, you got to get launched right. You will not enter into your day of work correctly. You won't relate to your work wisely. You won't perform your work graciously. You will be tempted to fall into so many sinful and broken expressions of your own I, your own self, if you're not praying as if everything depended on God. And so he recommends this morning offering. And this morning offering is where you offer to God all your prayers, all of your works, your good works, and all the sufferings of your day for your own sanctification and the salvation of the world and to win grace for others. And again, it's a beautiful traditional practice, and it's one that I'm going to encourage you to bring to your kids. I'm going to encourage you to incorporate with your spouse. It's a simple prayer. It's something that you can do with your kids. We would pray with our kids on the way to school in the car. You know, we had, I don't know, a 9-minute ride, and we would do PTPIA, praise, thank, petition, intercession, and ask for intercession. And we would have the kids take turns leading the PTPIA prayer on the way to school. It was a way to get them first thing in the morning locked in on how do you want to see your day? How do you want to look at your day and relate to your day? Well, from the standpoint of prayer. So you remember that support, encourage, accountability? I want to support you in doing that morning offering. And I encourage you to do that morning offering. I also want to give you a little bit of accountability that you do that morning offering, you're going to be more faithful to fulfill God's call in your life. Ouch. If you're not doing it, you're going to have a harder time fulfilling God's call for your life. And so with that said, how do we pray a morning offering well? I've shared it before in Sound Insight. I'll just do it again quickly in the last few minutes of the program. This was taught to me by my spiritual director, Father Mark Noonan, also the philosophy professor and priest, Holy Priest of God. Morning offering. Three simple statements that are associated with the three persons of the Trinity and really three fundamental aspects of your life and faith. The first is directed to God the Father. Oh God, you are God and I am not. I love that. Oh God, you are God and I am not. It's St. Catherine of Siena. And I got to tell you what, in your morning offering, you better get the first thing first, which is the humility of recognizing I'm not God in my own life. I'm certainly not God in my own environment here. I'm not the most important supreme being in the situations and in the relationships that I'm in. God is God, and I'm not. And let me live my life like that. The second is addressed to the Son. And that is, Lord, this is my heart's desire. Please fulfill my heart's desire. And Father Noonan said that what was so beautiful about that part of the morning offering is that you're opening your heart to the Lord. And you're doing so because you believe, you've got confidence that he wants to answer your prayers. He's waiting to answer your prayers. He wants in to your heart. He wants in to those situations and circumstances where you feel held back, wounded, broken. And through your prayer, through opening your heart and asking for your heart's desire to be fulfilled, you're giving the Lord a chance to show you just how much he loves you, just how close he is to you, just how much he loves to care for you in the details, in the details. So, oh God, you are God and I am not. The second is, Lord, this is my heart's desire. Lord, this is what I want to see. This is what I want to see. It's like the blind Bartimaeus in Luke chapter 15, no, 18, 35 to 40 to 43. Where the blind Bartimaeus is brought to Jesus, and he says, what do you want me to do for you? The morning offering, that second part, is Jesus saying, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus says, I want to see. And Jesus said, receive your sight. What do you want to see? What do you want to see? Give the Lord a chance to show you. And then what's the third one? Lead me, Lord, and I will follow. Lead me, Lord, and I will follow. So that's for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to prompt you during the day. He's going to nudge you. He's going to incline you to do certain things and avoid certain things. He's going to prompt you to say something or to not say something. He's going to stir certain ways of thinking, and he's going to convict you about other ways of thinking. And so your morning offering, oh God, you are God and I am not. Lord, this is my heart's desire. And lead me, Lord, I will follow. And that can even take a striking form. Lord, I say yes to what you would have me do, what you would have me say, and where you would have me go, even before I know what that is. I say yes in advance of even knowing what you're going to ask of me. That's a morning offering in three simple sentences that unpacks a whole load of beautiful and important content. We can get that foundation right in our families, in our marriage, in our own lives as disciples of Jesus, so much else will take care of itself. That's what Father Chizik is getting at in this book. Seek first the kingdom of God and his way of righteousness. Everything else will be added unto you. God bless your day, and join me on Monday for more Sound Insight.